Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio, specializing in how to be honestly green. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, and are really good for the environment. Tips and suggestions from listeners are encouraged, so give us a call at 866-444-3478. It's now time to venture through the foggy misinformation and learn about what truly is green. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor and proud owner of Mystery Dog Tater, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody, to once again a very rainy, stormy day here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're in Irving, and lots of rain, lots of storms. Hope where you are, you're getting some good rain, but not too much. If you have any questions related to gardening, landscaping, pest control, anything like that, that's what we're here for. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. We talk about the natural organic approach as opposed to the use of synthetic fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. That's the base of what we do. We talk about a lot of other things as well. Our website, in fact, this hour is brought to you by our various sources of information. Our website, dirtdoctor.com. My books, 16 of them, the latest one is on organic lawn care for the whole country, and you can get it in the usual places where books are sold. Our Facebook is facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor, and some of the projects that I've been talking about are shown there, and we'll continue to add to those. Jump on board if you want to be involved in that. Got a bunch of stuff on YouTube. We have a library on our website on dirtdoctor.com where everything is in alphabetical order, and you can find your questions there. And if you don't, you can call us here on the show. We're on the live show is on from 8 until 11 Central Time in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, 8 to 11. And then we're streamed live on dirtdoctor.com. Podcasts are there. The Texas Organic Research Center is currently part of the Dirt Doctor site, and it's where you can find the details and data and research information about the things that we talk about. And then finally, there's a membership area of dirtdoctor.com. It's the Organic Club of America. Many benefits, including seminars, answers on a priority basis, special offers of seed and things like that from my garden when available. And I think we still do have some inland sea oats available, and we'll have some other things coming up this fall. So, and it is time for the fall garden planting for a lot of you out there if you haven't gotten into it yet. In the warm climates, you know, kind of a whole nother round of squash and zucchini and melons and all that kind of thing. And then for many of us, it's time to start a lot of the cool season things, greens and spinach and kohlrabi and broccoli and carrots and all sorts of things. A little too early for garlic. We'll do it ideally in late September, early October. But a lot of gardening activities to be done right now, except in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is being flooded right now. But moving across and shouldn't be lasting that much longer. Let's see what else I needed to tell you about before. Oh, somebody asked me a kind of an interesting question, sent it in on info@dirtdoctor.com, which you can do as well. Ask if it's okay now to use newspaper as a weed blocking material and part of your organic program. Are the inks okay? The answer to that is maybe and maybe not. The last information I got about newspaper inks is that sometimes they use soy inks and sometimes they use petroleum-based inks, depending on where they're made and whatnot. Either one of them could contain some heavy metals. In an organic program where you got rich biological activity going and using organic products, the neutralization, all that's pretty good, and it's probably not a problem. The safest of the newspapers to use, and this usually surprises people because other people say just the opposite and it's not right, and that is that the safest ones are the colored inks. They're the ones that are more likely to be the soy-based products. The black ones are more likely to be petroleum-based and contain some of the heavy metals. I don't have a big problem with them because I think the organic fertilizers and amendments and things we do and the biological activity will neutralize most of the problems, if any, that are there with that idea. Peggy in Rome, Georgia on WRGA 98.7. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I enjoy this program so much.
Well, thanks.
I was overzealous when I began my planting in the spring, and because I was going to be gone for 2 weeks, I used the vinegar, orange oil, and citric acid for weeds, but I did a double spraying. And I don't know if that's what has turned that soil, that whole bed is really hard.
Okay. Well.
And I didn't know if that was it. I planted cucumbers, and they all turned, they were not green like they were supposed to be. They were actually white. And
well, I guess you can overdo those materials. You say you use citric acid as part of your mixture. You use vinegar, orange oil, and citric acid?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where did you get the citric acid?
Where did I buy it?
Yeah. Is it available labeled as citric acid?
Yes, uh-huh. You can get it at a health food store.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't used that before, and so I don't understand the concentrations on that. I suppose you could have dropped the pH down so low with your mixture that you created a lockup of things. Tell you what, the quickest way to flocculate it, in other words, fluff it up, loosen it up and everything, is with, believe it or not, hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
Yeah, just get some 3% stuff from the grocery store, and you can mix a little water with it, but you're going to go out pretty much at the 3%. You can dilute it a little bit, and it will loosen up and make that soil soft almost instantly.
Okay.
And then just start adding your normal amendments to get the mulch over the surface and keep the sun off of it, and I think you'll be right back in business.
Well, I'm not doing winter things, so can I wait until spring and do the hydrogen peroxide?
Sure.
Okay.
The only thing is I would cover it with mulch. I wouldn't leave it there bare exposed to the sunlight.
I had it covered in organic wheatgrass.
Okay, cool. All right.
And growing the cucumbers on the trellis, that was fun.
Although I didn't eat
any of them.
It saves a lot of room, too. I think that doing more vertical growing, which I'm not always good at doing myself, I think that's really smart because you just use the garden space so much more efficiently.
Well, that was my thought. Now, can I mix the diatomaceous earth and the dry molasses with my soil mixture as I'm putting that in next spring?
Yeah, in fact, diatomaceous earth is probably a more important soil amendment than we've made out to be in the past because it provides available silica. And a lot of times the silica is in the soil. There's a ton of it, a lot of it in the soil, but it's kind of locked up and not really available. So the DE, the natural DE, really helps that. And we're getting report after report from people saying that it's the only thing they've ever done that has reduced the damage from squash bugs and squash vine borers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did plant squash this year. Every year I do something I haven't done before.
That's good. That's being a good gardener.
It's fun to watch it grow and, of course, to get the fruit from whatever.
Yeah, see what works and pass it on to other people and share information and get some tips from them, too.
Well, I have bought the diatomaceous earth, and I'm spraying around the outside of my house for bugs and whatever. And that is being effective for me.
You're just dusting it around the perimeter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool. And as it goes into the soil, it helps the soil for your landscape plants and all that, so there's nothing negative about it.
So that won't hurt the plants at all?
No, I don't know any way you could hurt a plant with DE, with diatomaceous earth. No, can't think of a thing it would do bad.
Well, I love the dry molasses because it's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I like it, too. I use it quite a bit. I probably overused it in the past. In fact, I did it on purpose. I overused it to see if I could create some kind of a problem with it. And the only thing I saw is that if you use it too much, you get maybe a less production than if you use it as just one of the tools mixed with all the other things. You know, just use some common sense, you know, with anything
right.
that you do.
Well, it goes in my compost and feeds my plants and everything.
Well, great. I'm glad it's working for you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peggy.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. In Rome, we got a lot of listeners in that part of the world, and we appreciate you being there. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. And once again, that website for you, and you can get the formulas and recommendations there if you don't catch it on the show, dirtdoctor.com, all spelled out, DirtDoctor.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Howard Garrett back with you, and telephone number is 866-444-3478. It's Robin's turn, Philadelphia. It's WNTP 990. Hi, Robin.
Yes, I did. I looked that up for you. My two questions are, first I'll make a comment. Living in Texas for 32 years, I can't keep the car on the road here. It is so luxurious and green.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So I want to plant everything that I couldn't grow in Dallas, but I'm going slowly.
Okay.
I cut a lilac bush back, not severely, abusively, but I cut it back. And there's some new growth, but the soil is meager, and I'm getting acquainted with what to do and how. But when do I feed that lilac for its maximum bloom next year?
Well, Robin, one of the nice things about our natural organic approach is that timing on fertilizer is not nearly as critical as when you use the synthetic salt fertilizers, because they aren't soluble and they don't go anywhere.
Okay.
So you can fertilize now. Ideally, the best thing to do when you're just starting a new program, is this new property for you?
Yes, it's not, you know, it's been here for years. It's an old estate.
Okay, great.
Crumbling walls and all kinds of vegetation. But people have done things haphazardly, and I'm trying to, you know, reintroduce organic and being organized and going slow. And
sure. Well, have you fertilized it all yet?
No.
Okay.
I live in a townhouse community.
Uh-huh.
So they have a service that comes in, and they put in a lot of compost / mulch in the spring, and since then I've just kind of waited and watched and thought, well, I'm going to call Howard and he'll tell me what to do when.
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is to call them off. You know, you don't want them coming in using synthetic fertilizers. Can you stop that or get them to switch somehow?
Well, there are 79 other people here and they've got their system and everybody pays for it. So I think what I can do, there's a lot of community property, which is the grass and what have you. But in my own bedding, which is around my dwelling, and then this gorgeous antique stone garden wall that's right across from me that I kind of have dominion over, I can protect that.
Yeah, keep them out of there, totally. And I would go ahead and probably get an organic fertilizer and or Garrett juice, make your own, or get one of the commercial ones and do a mild application of both those things now.
Okay.
And then we're probably going to want to either fertilize again when we get more into the fall, or you can wait till late winter, early summer, and go ahead and make then the first major application. I do kind of maybe a half rate, kind of a gentle application now, and then a full application in probably February or early March.
Bobby, up here February, we had 3 or 4 feet of snow, and March had 1 or 2 feet of snow, so we didn't see the crack.
Well, that's what I mean. As soon as things thaw out enough for you to do it, I mean, we're basically here, as you know, we start doing it in January. So up there, as soon as things are thawed out enough and before things start to grow, whatever that timing is, that's when you do the first major fertilization of the year.
Awesome. Okay, thank you for that. And then I've always loved peonies, and when I first moved here, they were luxurious and wonderful. That was late last spring. This year, we had a very severe winter, as you might know, and they came up with mildewed leaves and very few flowers.
Well, the organic program is going to help you quite a bit. The mildew you can knock off with several different things. You can mix a half a cup to a cup of milk per gallon of water. Works very well on mildew. You can mix a cup of whole ground cornmeal in 5 gallons of water, let it set for 30 minutes to an hour, swish it around, and then strain the solids off. That will knock off mildew very well. But just building the health of the soil with your organic techniques and products, and maybe getting some mycorrhizal fungus, you know, one of the beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal products into the soil, will really reverse the trend there, and I think your peonies will do beautifully there, a lot better than they will here, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were gorgeous, and I lived in Virginia for 17 years and just had major peonies, but there I had major funguses and bugs. Here, no mosquitoes, can you imagine?
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I mean, it's paradise, except trying to get everything kind of unorganized back to being organized and feeding them properly. So I will do that. And then I was told there's a Jenkins Arboretum. I've talked to a person there, but I kind of knew. I mean, they're lovely people. Might not know half of what you know, even though they're here in Philadelphia. But all he told me about the mildew was just take the leaves off. But I hesitated to do that because isn't that how it feeds the roots for next year?
Well, if they're still functioning, if they're green at all, those techniques will clear up the mildew, and you don't have to remove the foliage. You can try that and then always remove them if it doesn't work. But I think it'll work.
And or the, what was the second
cornmeal.
One? Cornmeal. Uh-huh. And I mix that in a big pail. But then do I apply it with a watering can, you know, with a sprinkle?
You can, or you can put it in a little 1 gallon pump up sprayer and spray it on there, and that really is a little bit more effective.
Okay.
Give that a try. And if the people at the Arboretum there are interested in maybe having me come sometime and do a seminar on how to be organic, tell them I'd be glad to talk to them about how that might work.
Love with this area. I'm telling you, as I said, it's hard to keep the car on the road.
We've got a lot of listeners there, so let's try to get something going.
Okay, I'll do that. His name is Steve, and I'll get on that. And then, so we've done the lilacs, we've done the peonies. This year, we had the most beautiful foliage on hydrangeas, not the first flower.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we had these three huge
trees. Yeah, the coal, that's probably what the reason is. But with your garret juice and the soil and on the foliage, I think you see that improve too.
Even with the dried molasses now, do you think I'd get a flower out before it gets...
I'd give it a try. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, but let's give it a try and see. It'd be a good way to learn. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best-looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard Garrett back with you, and number's 866-444-3478. Beverly in Cleburne, listening on the internet next up. Hi, Beverly.
Good morning. I want to tell you I appreciate your work.
Well, thank you.
I have been over here in this area about 4 years, moved over here from East Texas, a little bit south, I think, of where you grew up, and had wonderful soil over there. But when I got over here, I couldn't even put the spade in it. It was clay,
different.
White rock.
It where were you? Were you near Tyler or something?
No, Perryville, actually.
Perryville, okay.
Little place out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I have been working on the soil over here, putting in the rock powders and things that you recommend, and that black cow that was just on your last ad, and lots of mulch, and my soil is getting a lot better. I can dig real easily down about 8 or 10 inches now,
okay.
And I'm working on below that. It's gradually, it's taking time, but it's getting good, and my veggies are doing a lot better and everything, but I cannot grow green beans, and I'm wondering, is there something that you could recommend that I could do better, because I would like to plant some for my fall garden, and before, most of them just don't come up, or if they do, they might get 4 or 6 inches tall, and they just don't do anything, and I'm like, this is not right.
You know, green beans are kind of funny. I get reports about that, and I've had time or two less than great results myself. You know, they're legumes, and people have, you know, they realize that they're going to be setting some nitrogen, fixing some nitrogen themselves, and I think that people tend to not feed them quite as much as they would like. Have you ever tried alfalfa meal as a fertilizer for your beans?
No, but I sure will.
Give that a whirl. There's a good alfalfa meal product on the market that the Nature's Guide people have, and there probably are some others out there, to give that a shot and drench with the Garrett juice. Don't just spray the foliage. Do both.
Drench, okay.
Yeah, and see if we can't perk up the production on those green beans. You might also try some different varieties.
Okay.
And see if that makes a difference, too. And if you find one that's real productive, you know, stick with it. And it, you know, might be related to that somewhat.
Okay.
If all the other plants are doing pretty well, that may be the issue. You may just have a variety that's not that happy there.
Okay. My second question is, we have bindweed in this area, and I'm right next to the green belt, and it's got it, and they don't mow quite as much as they could. And I've got it in my beds, and I have dug it out and dug it out and dug it out and dug it out. And if I don't, it just absolutely takes over everything.
Yeah, it's a tough weed.
It is.
There's when you get it fixed and completely removed, you can come over to our place and help us with ours. We've got it too. It's one that you just have to continue to do, and if you pull it and or hoe it when it first starts growing and keep mulch on the area and build the organic matter in the soil, the carbon, that does help. It won't eliminate it, but it's just an ongoing process. That and Carolina snail seed are the two most troublesome weeds that we have in our gardens.
Okay, there's not anything you can put on it or that it doesn't like. I've noticed when I grow, like I grew okra in one little area one year and it was real heavy. I probably planted it too thick, but that shade seemed to keep it out at that point in time. And then I noticed an area this year where I had purple hull peas and they were pretty thick in there and it didn't seem to grow then. But other than that, it doesn't seem to matter what other crop. It just goes like crazy.
Well, one thing that you might try is the technique that we use for Bermuda grass and even nutsedge to a degree, and that is putting down a layer of molasses and compost, and then putting
dry molasses.
And then putting three to five layers of newspaper or butcher paper or some kind of paper, wet that down, and then put the shredded native mulch over the top of it. That will smother it out, and you'd have to plant transplants instead of seed, but you could get your transplants planted through that mulch of a native cedar or native shredded tree trimmings in general and paper.
Okay, I did something pretty similar to that the first year when I was trying to grow anything, and I noticed that bindweed, the roots just sort of circled around under that newspaper.
Well,
and
there's nothing.
A thing that came back.
There's nothing that's foolproof about it, but if you'll add the little bit of compost and a little bit of dry molasses there, and then the paper and all, wet down each layer as you go, does a pretty good job.
Okay.
Give it a whirl.
Okay, thanks, million.
Talk to you later. That bindweed is tough. It's a morning glory type thing if you're not familiar with it. And it every little piece, when you pull it out, every little piece, you know, regenerates and grows again. I want to welcome all the people locally. I've got a note here that we're back on the air. It took a long time, but I'm glad you're back. I've been asked to repeat one thing specifically that people heard me start on at the beginning of the show, and I'll try to get back to doing it in just a minute here. We've got an open line at 866-444-3478. Johan he's on WHAG in Hagerstown, Maryland. Hello, Johan.
Hello, Howard. Is this a three-credit course or a four-credit course?
This is four today. It's this one we've been doing in heavy storm, so it's worth more.
I love your show, Howard. Always learn a lot.
Thanks.
One of your previous callers, I believe two or three calls back while I was on hold, I was listening, and the lady mentioned mildew on lilacs.
Yeah. Well, she was actually talking about her peonies, but same thing.
Well, she in talking, I think she did reference lilacs as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a situation. It's right on the property line. It isn't my lilac, but I think I already know the answer to this question. This isn't the reason I'm calling, but I figured I'd ask you while I had you. The leaves that have the mildew on, they probably shouldn't go on the compost pile. Is that correct?
I really don't agree with that.
I think
that diseased leaves can go in the compost pile, because what you're doing with compost is just you're creating a highly concentrated biological machine there that will neutralize weed seed, disease organisms, and everything, and turn it all back into something beneficial. The only other thing you can do with it is put it in a plastic bag and send it to the landfill. So
I
don't do it at all. I recycle, you know, even insect infested and disease stuff. And yeah, you could maybe, if you don't compost it really well, which we sometimes don't, but we should, everybody should. But that's the best way to get rid of those pathogens, is to kill them with beneficial microbiology, and that's the compost pile.
Well, I have a few compost piles, so I'll put it on one of the compost piles and, you know, just see how it works.
Yeah, just kick up the heat with making sure you add, in addition to plenty of carbon, the dry stuff, plenty of green stuff, plenty of manure, plenty of protein, you know, cornmeal, the molasses, things that will really fire up the heat, which is the biological activity in the pile, and it'll neutralize all that mildew. Mildew's, you know, pretty easy to control fungus.
Well,
fungi.
It's terrible. I thought maybe it might be hard to control, but that's why I'm calling you.
No, you can neutralize it pretty easy.
Okay, now I have one more, and then I want to get to seven. I have a question about that.
Okay.
The winter aconite that I had called you a while back, probably a couple years ago,
yep,
and sent you some seeds, and I think you failed to spread them or plant them.
No, I got them planted and didn't monitor it all that well, and so don't have any evidence of it coming up at all. I think I still have some, mm-hmm, but I need to try that again. Whenever you get some additional seed, let's give it another whirl. I'll be a little
more. Well, that's my question. I found an envelope folded over, stapled shut, with some winter aconite seeds. Now, it's not from this past spring. It's from the previous spring.
Should be fine.
Okay, well, I'll send you some, and I'll, rather than just a little envelope, I'll send it in a padded, one of those little padded mailers that way. Maybe.
That'd be great, and I'll get it started in a controlled situation this time in a couple of different ways, and we'll get you some good feedback.
Okay, and now my last question. One of my daughters, Gretchen, phoned in a week or so ago about hornets that were in the ground.
Yeah.
And you said the... what was it, the oils, the essential oils. She had gone to one of the box stores, the one that begins with an L, five letters.
Yeah.
And, don't want to give them any free ads. And they had told her seven. And, you know, just in the evening, early evening, when they're not active, just pour it in the hole, put a rock over it. And I said, I don't think you should do that, Gretchen. Because I remember in the past you mentioned seven, and you mentioned it again that your father-in-law worked for the company that manufactured, and about India, how many people died from the main ingredient. And, you know, that's what they're pushing, these chemicals.
Oh, I know. And it is a lot like Roundup. It's one of those highly toxic materials that has been marketed brilliantly to people, and a lot of folks think that it is a very mild, relatively low toxicity pesticide. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's a terribly nasty pesticide, and it says on the label, if you'll notice in great big letters, that it will kill bees. It's very effective at killing bees. It'll kill those wasps in the ground, but it also is bad on beneficial things. Plus the fact, Johan, the essential oils are soapy water, will kill the wasp or the hornets down in the ground in a nest like this just as well.
Mm-hmm.
So why use a toxic material and support that company that continues to manufacture that stuff and put it out there?
And we'll be leaving it behind for our children,
yeah,
and grandchildren.
Yeah, it's just a very, very bad idea all the way around. And that same company sells essential oil products anyway, you know.
Does that have three letters with a D?
Well, the essential oil products.
No, the seven.
Three letters with a D. You're
the
losing.
The chemical company that you're.
No, it was Union Carbide is who my father-in-law worked for, and it's probably, you know, in other chemical companies as well. But they actually manufactured the stuff, and they were involved in that Bhopal deal.
You know, would you put me back to the screener that I could get the address where to mail this?
Yeah, I'll be glad to put it on the air, though, because anybody can send us stuff. It's Post Office Box
140-650.
Yeah, sorry, that's so loud. 140-650,
yes.
Dallas, 75214. People can send questions there,
Dallas,
too.
Dallas, Big Texas, okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Johan.
So much,
talk to
Dallas.
You soon. Bye-bye. Howard Garrett will be back right after this.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
Hot, dry summers are hard on our lawns and landscapes. Use Milorganite fertilizer to help your lawn and landscape survive the stressful summer season. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. The organic nitrogen in Milorganite is slow release and non-burning, even during drought. The fertilizer will be in place and ready to work when better growing conditions and moisture return, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% iron promotes deep green growth. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. A couple of things. Dennis, hang on, I'm going to get to you, but before we get off the air, and then I'll try to answer one question that came up in addition to that that somebody wanted me to put back on the air, but I have to tell you about the dog one more time because those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area I don't think got to hear this. It's Logan, which is interesting, the dog, and it's an adorable one-year-old 45-pound Kelpie at the SPCA in Dallas, and already can do loose leash walking and all kinds of things. Beautiful little dog. Last week, Strawberry was adopted. Thank you for that. But check out our website, dirtdoctor.com, especially those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, for this current dog, Logan. And let's give Logan a home. I think you'll be happy that you did. Dennis in Fort Worth, listening on 660 AM finally. Hello, Dennis.
Hi. I was wondering about my eggplant. They quit producing eggplants, quit producing the fruit here a couple of weeks ago. Should I just pull them up or they start again?
Well, if the plants are still healthy, Dennis, you can probably drench with some liquid, you know, like the Garrett juice mixture or something, and get them to come back into production. If the foliage is pretty lousy, you may want to transplant, do some fall planting. You might try both, though, and see which way works best for you. But if the foliage is good, I bet you can have some more fruit.
Okay. Another thing, what I noticed, the garden center had a bunch of stuff out, like tomato plants and some other things. What's good to... What can you put out right now?
Well, tomatoes, it's a little late. Unless they're pretty good-sized tomatoes and already have some little fruit on them, or we should have done that in July. But you can do all kinds of other things, like cantaloupe and various melons and squash and zucchini and beans and all sorts of things can still – we're getting a little late, but you can still do that. And we're in the – window, the beginning of the window now, to do spinach and all the various greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, and all those things, carrots, the cool season things, in other words. All of the herbs, for the most part, especially the perennials, can be planted now. It's a wonderful time to especially with all the moist soil we have now, as soon as the rain goes away and it dries out just a little bit, get some new things in the ground.
But it's too late for a fall tomatoes?
Well, like I said, unless you buy some pretty big transplants that already have some fruits set, it's getting pretty late. You can probably do well with the cherry tomatoes, the real small tomatoes, the wild currant and things like that. But any big tomatoes, it's a little bit of a late start now.
Well, I've still got some tomato plants that look pretty good, but they're not putting out no fruit.
Well, just hang on to them. They can still produce for the fall. Do the drenching of the Garrett juice, spray, knock them around a little bit, shake them around as soon as they are showing some flowers, and you can probably have some production, at the very least, a good supply of green tomatoes before frost. Now, peppers are a little bit more tolerant of it. Plus, peppers are even a stronger perennial than tomatoes are. Tomatoes are perennials, too, but peppers can literally be put in pots and held over the winter, and if they're in a sunny, warm place, actually produce and then be set out again next spring.
You're talking about the pepper plant?
Any kind of peppers, that's right.
Oh, well, the peppers was going to be my next question. They've kind of slowed way down. Are they going to pick back up a little bit?
Oh, you bet. They'll be having nice production from now on. My peppers in my garden, we had a lot of good production of habaneros, which I've talked about early in the show, but all the other ones are just now coming on really strong. So the production from this point forward all the way into frost will be really good on peppers.
Okay, well, thank you much.
I appreciate your call. And that will give me a little time to talk about one thing. When we started the show, and a lot of you don't know this if you're not here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but we had a terrific storm. And the reason it was so bad, we had lightning. I've never seen so much lightning, and it apparently knocked out a tower, knocked out something. We were off the air with the local 660 AM here for quite a while. And some people heard the very beginning of me talking about the project at my house. It's twofold. We're putting in a stone on sand is what you would call it in general, walkway and little sitting area for the koi pond. It's actually being put in on decomposed granite, and decomposed granite's being used in the joints. And we've also uncovered a root flare of a live oak tree that my wife wanted to keep and I didn't want to keep. We're keeping it, as you've probably already figured out. So I said, well, if we're going to keep it, it's going to be healthy. So in exposing the flare was done, and it's very deep in the ground. The picture on Facebook shows you pretty well. It's well over 12 inches, the depression around it to expose the flare, and maybe more than that. I'm going to measure it and show it to you in detail about what we do from this point forward. We may put some kind of a grate over the top of it. But anyway, that whole project, which includes planting St. Augustine palmetto and El Toro zoysia and doing some other interesting things, we've started the photography of it and we'll continue it. It'll be on Facebook, and it'll be on other places for you to show you the whole process and hopefully give you some tips on some things you can do at home. I've enjoyed being with you, and look forward to next week. All during the week, you can listen to podcasts. You can go to dirtdoctor.com to get your questions answered. You can join the Organic Club of America, the green button there on the left-hand side, and get all the benefits of that. And of course, enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds. The newsletter, free. Just fill out the form right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com.